Now, whether you're on Dollymount Strand with sandy sandwiches or if you're by the pool in Santa Ponsa, summertime is all about lying down with a good book for loads of us. But how do you know which are the best ones to grab in the airport or if you want to scab off your mom after she's already lashed through it? I don't know. But we asked RTE lifestyle journalist Charlotte Ryan to put together a top 10 for us to get you sorted for the summer. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I love your mention of sandwiches.
Sandwiches. You have to have sandwiches for the summer. Come here. Talk to me, first of all, about the happy couple, because I nearly bought this last week and I'm going to buy it this week. Mm-hmm. Nisha Dolan.
Yes. So it's... second novel from
just
Nisha
get Golan. Right up to that mic there. So
this is the second novel from Nisha Golan. She had a breakout hit last with her last one, her first one, Exciting Time. And
yeah.
This is highly anticipated. Essentially, it's kind of an anti-wedding, anti-love story. So it's following a couple who are engaged and the reader kind of questions, should they be?
Yes.
They're haunted by exes and past relationships. And the novel essentially looks at what a performance of a straight couple is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of queer elements here as well, looking at why we think we're happy in certain relationships.
Yeah.
And what will actually make us happy. So it's a really quick page turner, really sardonic, sharp, witty,
lovely.
Like all the hallmarks of, I think, young Irish female literary talent at the moment. So she's great.
Brilliant. She gets compared a lot to Sally Rooney.
She does.
And I think a lot of it to do they came about around the same time.
Totally.
You
Kate
know?
And Trinity as well, you know.
Exactly,
kind of
all of that. But Exciting Times was brilliant.
It was,
so if you haven't got to Nisha Dolan yet, make sure you do. So that's on toxic relationships. Talk to me about toxic friendship.
Okay, so I think toxic friendships are a bit of a, I don't know, they're trending in a bad way.
Yeah,
in some way. So,
of course.
So essentially, so one of the biggest books of summer already out now is Yellowface.
I've heard people talking about
yes,
this one, yeah.
By R.F. Kong.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially a follow-up to her novel Babel, which was a runaway hit. It's her fifth novel. It follows two friends, Athena Liu and June Hathaway, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, Athena is a best-selling, multi-book deal-owning, you know, amazing writer. And then June is struggling, trying to have a book career, and there's competition and rivalry there.
Great.
So in a freak accident, Athena dies. And in the chaos of that event, June steals her as-yet unpublished manuscript, which is sure to be a hit, and publishes it under her new revamped name. Now, there's a lot of layers to this because Athena Liu is American, Asian American. She's writing about the Chinese labor corps, so it's a war epic, this book that she's bringing out.
Okay.
So then when June takes it, she rebrands herself as Juniper Song to appeal to this other culture
of course.
And demographic.
So it touches on, you know, cultural appropriation.
Oh, massively. In a very accessible, thriller-based way. So it's very fast-paced, it's claustrophobic because essentially June is looking over her shoulder the entire time waiting to be found out.
Wow.
And it brings with it questions of shame, greed, identity. It's a brilliant novel.
Fab. That's Yellowface, or F. Kong, I think is how you pronounce it. That's brilliant. And Nothing Special. Talk to me about that. That's a brilliant name.
Yes.
Great title. So who's it by? What did you love about it?
So this is by Nicole Flaherty, another Irish, young female Irish writer. We're so spoiled for choice.
Yeah, we really are.
I can't keep up with them. Like, but this is fabulous. So this is, again, going a lovely cinematic coming of age novel, but it's set in 1966 in New York City.
Wow.
And follows May, a 17-year-old who's lost and jaded, comes from a difficult background, who is looking for community and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that aspect will resonate with a lot of younger readers too, who are looking for this outlet. So she takes a job as a typist for, of all people, Andy Warhol, helping him work on a book which is actually a real life book. It's called A Novel. And Andy was recording, if people would know the story of Andy Warhol, he had something called The Factory, which is a collective of subversive creatives. And he was just, you know, living, breathing in that space. So he recorded them and he transcribed their conversations into a novel. But May is a fictional version of one of the four women who actually worked on that book, who were never really acknowledged, two of which were never named. And the novel, again, the title being Nothing Special, May is the Nothing Specials in the collective of glamorous, shiny creatives. But the story follows their realization that you can get close to glamour and fame and creativity, but it might be a bit dull. And maybe the real story is in the normal people, the nothing specials.
Wow. Okay. So that's an Irish author as well,
yes.
Nicole Flattery, Nothing Special. We were talking very briefly, and we can't do Succession spoilers because who knows how long it takes anybody to watch anything anymore. But Succession is the absolute huge show of the minute. So what reads are out there for people who love Succession and who might be interested in that?
Yeah, so I have a great
Similar.
Absolutely, I have a great one. I have Succession in real life times 100, essentially. So this is called Unscripted, the epic battle for our media empire and the Redstone family legacy. It's by James B. Stewart and Rachel Abrams, who are two New York Times reporters. So it's a non-fiction tale of the Redstone family, focusing mostly on Sumner Redstone, who was the chairman of CBS and Viacom before he died in 2020. And he was, by all accounts, a ruthless businessman with a very complex take on family business and how he used and wielded his power. So it looks at how he would use his influence to elevate his lovers to positions of power within the shows and then just tear them down. There's stories of him writing girlfriends into his will, then angrily writing them back out and essentially manipulating his contacts. And then part of that cue, the succession part, is that he had two kids, one of which Shari Redstone aspired to take over the family legacy.
Okay.
And she was very ambitious, capable, all the things you want in a successor.
Yeah, yeah.
But of all people, her father would thwart her efforts.
Wow.
And it's a very complex, multi-layered take because it's reported from actual lawsuit documents.
Okay.
Because there were so many lawsuits with the family.
Of course.
So it's really meaty. It will challenge you, I think.
So if you're on a succession buzz at the moment and you feel like having something to take away with you along those lines, that is Unscripted, the epic battle for a media empire and the Redstone family legacy. Sometimes those are good for, I find nonfiction really good for audiobooks as well.
Absolutely,
if you want to if it's something's very dense.
Oh, yeah.
Loads of people love a bit of sauce don't we all? You always, everybody went on that holiday where people were sharing the same three 50 Shades of Grey books, right? So it's a legit way to consume a bit of filth. So what do you recommend for fans who want something a bit like that in that genre?
Well, I love a saucy summer read.
Amazing.
So this is The Disenchantment by Celia Bell. She's an American author. It's her debut novel.
Yeah.
It's set in 17th century France in Versailles in the court of Louis XIV. So if you like
Dangerous liaisons, basically.
Very,
yeah.
And also very Britishing. So like
amazing. Yeah.
Bodice ripper and every sense of the word. Essentially, it follows Baroness Marie Catherine, who was in an unhappy marriage, as many of them were back then.
Yeah.
And she's finding solace in salons and with her writer friends, but crucially with a very schemy affair with the androgynous Countess Victoire.
Okay.
And they're carrying on under her husband's nose. So then this also links into a real, it's historical fiction, but it's very, very accessible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a big historical fiction person. I find it a little bit heavy, but this is very accessible, very fun. So essentially it links into something called The Affair of the Poisons, which is a real life scandal that plagued Versailles back in the time of Louis XIV, when there was rumours of poisonings and murders and very, very salacious goings on. But this links into their love story, and a murder sets them fleeing across Paris. It's very sultry, very spooky, very gothic as well.
Love it. Properly legitimate filth. So go for it. Absolutely. So that is The Disenchantment. Sophie White, she's a friend of the show, and Jen is a huge fan of her writing. What's her latest one all about, My Hot Friend?
Yes, so it's a more lighter-hearted take on her her work. But her last one was very heavy but fabulous. This one is essentially about friendship breakup. It follows three friends in their 30s who are all lost for different reasons. So there's Lexi, who is a podcaster, who is battling with oncoming fame and somewhat overshadowed by her co-host. There's Joanne, who is a new mother, the first of her friend group to have a baby, which I think a lot of people would relate to.
For sure.
And, you know, kind of like keeping her head above water. And then there's Claire, who's recovering from a recent mental health scare and is feeling ostracized from her old school friend group. So they're all trying to find their feet in this new phase of friendship. Yeah. And then it's compounded by the role of social media and the anxiety it brings of trying to make new friends when you're older. It's just like, I don't know, it's like a more intense version of dating where you're just looking at your phone hoping that you haven't said the wrong thing. And then with Sophie White as well, as you say, she's phenomenal. She's so honest and she's so fearless with how she writes, and that comes, I think, from compassion. So there's a lot of tenderness and realism.
You won't miss this either in the shops, because it's bright lime green.
Oh, it's fabulous.
It's gorgeous looking even for the cover. So that's Sophie White, My Hot Friend. Two more. Cormac on the show is always reading books by musicians. Mm-hmm. So what is your favourite kind of muso read for the summer?
So a great memoir out now is Verse Chorus Monster by Graeme Coxon. He was the lead guitarist for Blur. And Blur are playing in Dublin this June.
Yes,
and they have a new album coming out. So no better time to reacquaint yourself.
Ideal,
So essentially, Coxon was kind of the bespectacled, quiet, creative lead in some ways against Damon Albarn, the lead singer. And I think we hear a lot about the Battle of Britpop that went on Blur and Oasis, how that was drummed up by the media. So his take is very much that it was a manufactured way of selling both bands and just, you know, adding to their fame. But I think it gives him a chance to talk about how his own role in the band was not maybe overshadowed, but lesser known than the other big moments of the band. He was an army brat. His father was a clarinet player with the British Army. So he talks about moving around a lot and how he came to resent the moniker of being a posh band with Blur, which anyone who knows the rivalry will know that they were the poshies.
The London,
So that's a great one. Really,
brilliant.
Really good.
Brilliant. So that's Verse Chorus Monster, and that's by Graeme Coxon from Blur. Finally, I have heard a lot about this. One big title out this month is Page Boy, but it is not about a kid in a suit at an Irish wedding. Tell us about this and why this one is so eagerly anticipated.
Absolutely. So we would know Ellen Page as the star of Juno.
Of course.
And then amazing zeitgeisty coming of age film about, as people will know, a young girl who gets pregnant. That was played by who we now know as Elliot Page.
Yeah.
So Ellen Page came out as trans man a few years ago and is now Elliot Page and embracing his trans identity.
Sure.
So this is his memoir about essentially keeping that part of himself secret and hiding it while fronting a lot of very female-focused, scarlet-led roles in Hollywood. It opens with accounts of him essentially doing the press corps for Juno and trying to discover his own queer identity, but then having to keep it quiet and hide it for the sake of his image. So it's sure to be a really, really moving and honest portrayal of coming out under extreme pressures that many, many people will relate to. Also, June is Pride Month, so there's no better time to read a very frank and necessary memoir.
And Elliot's been so honest in interviews about his experience over the last few years, particularly. So that'll be one to watch. Another one, possibly really good on Audible, I would say, as well, or wherever you get your audiobooks. That's Page Boy by Elliot Page. Charlotte Ryan, thank you so much for that.
That was brilliant.
I'm going to take your notes now. I'm going to bring them with me to the bookshop and spend about £1,000 in the bookshop. That was RTE lifestyle journalist Charlotte Ryan with your summer reads, and we're going to be right back after. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.